Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, he already told you guys this is my first New Year's without Brother Doug. But you know what? I'm so thankful to be here. That makes the difference for me. This is a place that I cannot put words to. I knew a lot of people from here, Brother Mike, when I came here. And I did want to come, but God put me here. God knew exactly what he was doing. God doesn't, he never fails us. He knows what's down the road, and he knows what to do with us. And I am so thankful, and I know Pastor hears this from me a lot, but I am so thankful to be in this place with each and every one of you. I can't imagine, Sister Peg, any greater family than what I have right here. This means everything to me. If you take this away from me, I have nothing. Because natural family can't replace what God gives you. This is, Brother Carl, this is the most important family. It doesn't mean I don't love my other family. But this is the most important family to me, is to be with you guys and to support you. It's not that you support me, but I get to support you too. Do you understand that we have to have a reciprocal thing here? We have to support each other. And this message, and I didn't realize that God was going this way, but it's okay. This message is called Look on Us. Look around. This is us. Everybody in here is us. And it's Look on Us. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Is everybody ready? It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. We have people that come here all the time, Sister Peg, and they have needs. You don't have to be crippled, handicapped, whatever you want to call it. We are here to supply any need that somebody has. And you know, the most important need that they have is salvation. That's the most important thing, Brother Mike. We like the other things. I'd like to be able to get up and walk, and I'm telling you, one day I will. But the most important thing in this place is for us to be able to go out there and share what's in here with those that are out there and they're lost. And I'm gonna go right back to the title of this message. Look on Us. When they come through the doors, they're looking at us. When we go out there, they're looking at us. But brothers and sisters, I want to give you another side of the coin. When we come in here, we are looking at each other. And we lift each other up by what we say and what we do. So we have to be careful, Brother Mike, no matter where we're at, because somebody's watching us. Whether it's in church, Brother Don, or whether it's out there, we are a light. We are God's light wherever we go, and we have to let it shine. All right, I'm going to verse 3. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And alms is something such as food or money given freely to relieve the poor. Well, you know what? We have something. Freely ye have received and freely give. And it is salvation. It is this word. And we need to give it. Everything's not in money. We need to be able to give this. This word. This hope. This encouragement. This strength. To whoever needs it. You know, Pastor mentioned about me losing Brother Doug. You guys have been my strength and my hope this past year. I don't know what I would have done without you guys. But God knew exactly what he wanted to do. He knew exactly where he wanted to take me, because I sat at home, Brother Carl, after I lost Brother Doug. It'd been a few months, and I thought, why am I here? I don't understand why I'm at Breaking Bread. And I can tell you guys, I don't remember God speaking to me like he spoke to me. And I was sitting in my living room, and God said that I was here to make a difference. We're all here to make a difference, Brother Carl. We just have to find something to do, and we can make a difference. And he told me, he said, that I was here to make a difference, and he was going to make a difference in me. And he has made that difference, Sister Serena. I cannot imagine not being at this place. Right now, my van's messed up. Transmission don't work. And Josh has been helping me get in and out of his car. You know, the enemy tries to make me use that for an excuse. Well, you know, it's tough. It's hard. There is no excuse. I am not looking for any kind of excuse. The only excuse I want is to be here. That's the most important thing to me, is to be here and to grow, because you never know what God's got for you. And you might miss something really important, Pastor John, if you're not here. And, okay, let's go to verse 4, and it says, and Peter, fastening eyes upon him with John, when you work together, saints, it works. Peter and John, look on us. People are looking at us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6. But then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We have what the world cannot give anybody. If you don't know the Lord, you can't give it. But we have things that we can help people, Sister Melissa. Not money, just prayer. Speaking the word. Holding fast. That's what we have to do. And it says, verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Okay, that's a natural thing, okay? But let me tell you something. If you come in here and you raise your hands and you worship God and you trust him with all you've got, you will receive strength. And it says in the feet and ankle bones, but it means strength to stand. Stand through the trials and through the test. That's what God will do. He will give you that strength. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Do you think we see each other walking and overcoming and praising God? And don't it look good when you can see somebody else happy, Sister Serena, and they overcame? That's good. That is nothing to, you know, that is a good thing. And verse 10, and so we have something to praise God for. We do. If we can look around today and we're still all together, and we've had a few leave through death or whatever, but we've added, and if we're still all together, we have so much to be thankful for. We serve a good God. He has kept us all together. He has took us through things, and he never fails us. He's always right there, Brother Mike. Not always when we want him to answer, but he does not fail. And I'm going to tell you another little part of this. When I lost Brother Doug, you know, I kept praying for Brother Doug, and I lost him. And I sat in my living room one day, and I thought God didn't hear my prayers, Brother Carl. That I'm sure somebody else has went through that too. But I heard God say, you told me, and I had told God that if Doug was okay and he could go home to be with him, I would let him go. And I thought, people think I'm crazy, but I had told God, if you're going to take him home and he can be with you, I'll let him go. And God said that day to me, you told me. And I thought, okay, Lord, I know you heard me. And this might sound funny, guys, but when you get this experience with God, you're going to remember that one that I had too. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I know what you're talking about. He gave it all back, and I knew what he was talking about. And I thought about it later, and I thought, like I had a choice. I said, okay, God, I'll give him up. I didn't have no choice, Brother Carl. But I still had to be a willing vessel, Pastor. That was all that was just to see how much I love God and whether I was willing to turn my husband over to him. That's all God wanted to know. He just wanted to know how willing I was. And so I'm going to try to sum this up. Church, we all need to stick together. This is on my heart, so I'm gonna go ahead. We're starting a new year. The old year's over, and we're starting a new year. And I think it's Philippians 3 and 13. I didn't give it to Brother Ken, but if somebody finds that for me. It says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on to those that are before. We have got to start today, forgetting those things that are behind, our mistakes, our heartaches, whatever it might be, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on to those things which are before us. Because you know what's before us? Keeping ourselves saved, getting more people in here, helping each other. That's the things that God wants us to do. That's what is before us. So we have to forget those things that are behind us. If we've made a mistake, Brother Carl, we ask God for forgiveness. We put it under the blood. We keep on going. And we have to press forward to what God has for us in the future. Because I believe, and I know you guys believe it too, God has a great future for breaking bread. And that's why he put us all together. He got all of his jewels together, Brother Carl. And he put us all together. And he's got more out there. He'll bring more in. But we are a precious body in God's eyes. And if we can remember that during the things that we go through, just remember that God is always on our side. And remember that people are watching us. And that's how we get people saved. They are watching us. They want to see something that they can't get a hold of out there on their own. And if they can see it, Sister Serena, if they can look at us and they can see how we can make it through a trial and a death and a test, then they're going to think, well, I could have never done that. I've got to go find out. what gets them through that. So just think of the title of this, Look on Us. Let's shine out not only to the world, but to each other. God bless.
Tonight I want to turn your attention to the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter and the 1st verse. Proverbs 9:1, the word of the Lord. This passage of scripture is attributed to King Solomon, who's the wisest man to ever live, but still an ignoramus compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was the wisest man to ever live. Amen. And the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter and the 1st verse, the word of the Lord says, Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she, wisdom, saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. I'm going to read that one more time. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And right here, I want to hang my hat for just a few moments as we close out this year. The fear, everybody say fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Everybody say beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Here's to new beginnings tonight. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house on this New Year's Eve service, Lord. As we empty ourselves unto you tonight, as we reconsecrate ourselves, recommit ourselves, as we seek to align ourselves with your will and with your purpose in our lives. Lord, meet us here. Meet us here tonight, Lord, as we seek you, as we search for you, as we long for you. Bless your word. Let us hear with a hearing ear tonight. Let us leave the past behind and let us press forward. It's already been spoken in this service tonight, Lord. Let us press forward to a brighter future with you. We love you. We praise you. We give you the glory tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let all the believers say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated for a moment. Amen. Here's to new beginnings tonight. Out with the old and in with the new. I mentioned before, you know, I'm not interested tonight in standing beside Pitbull watching the ball drop. Amen. I want to be where the presence of the Lord is. Amen. And I'm thankful. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you tonight. Amen. Ushering out the old, bringing in the new. It's an exciting time for the body of Christ. Amen. And the text that we just read tonight is attributed to the great King Solomon. When having a discussion about wisdom, a great place to begin would be with the life of this great king. He was a man full of wisdom. The Bible says that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding that was beyond measure. Man, how would you like to have that on your name tag tonight? How would you like to be in the word of the Lord and the word of the Lord say that God gave you wisdom beyond measure? Greater than the seas, or greater than the sands on the seashore, amen, the Bible compares Solomon's wisdom to such. It was beyond measure. Solomon's life was more than a story about wealth and a story about power. Amen. We can learn so much as the children of God about the Word of God, the plan of God, the kingdom of God, the purpose of God through the life of King Solomon. It's so much more than a story about wealth and power. His life teaches us timeless lessons. Lessons in humility, lessons in relationships, lessons in integrity, lessons in the importance, Brother Joe, of learning from our mistakes. How many know we need to learn from our mistakes? How many know that God intends for us to learn from our mistakes? How many made some mistakes in 24? How many want to carry those mistakes into 25? Don't raise your hands. Amen. But God's intentions for us is that we learn from our mistakes. We can learn that from the life of King Solomon. We can learn lessons in humility and relationships and in integrity. The Bible tells us, you know, the Bible shows us rather that Solomon's prayer reminds us that we need wisdom. How many know we need wisdom? We need wisdom to be able to discern and to be able to understand. We need wisdom to be able to show us the difference between right and wrong. We need wisdom. We count on the wisdom of God, amen, to be able to show us the difference between good and evil. How many know it's not always easy telling what is the right way to go? Come on, the Bible gives us those thou shalt nots. And we know it's not okay to go out here and bust out Brother Jason's window to his Suburban and hotwire that thing and drive it down the road because it doesn't belong to us. And the Bible plainly tells us, Denali, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult you, sir. I said Suburban. I don't know what I was thinking. But the Bible tells us plainly, thou shalt not steal. So the Bible gives us those thou shalt nots. But it's not always so easy when you're in the midst of a conversation and the tone begins to change. Sometimes you got to hold on to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has to be your guide. And the Bible teaches us through the life of King Solomon that only wisdom can show us some things. We need wisdom. Wisdom will only come through the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Solomon's prayer reminds us we need this wisdom that the Bible says God gave to Solomon. Amen. To discern what is right and what is wrong. We need this wisdom to be able to discern the difference between good and evil, because sometimes the lines get blurred. And sometimes in our fleshly carnality and in our human condition, we can't always tell what we need. We can't always discern what is the best road forward, so we need the Holy Ghost to be our guide. We need the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, and we need to seek after the wisdom that God gave to Solomon. Amen. So what can we learn from the wisest man to ever live? Well, Solomon's life teaches us that we need wisdom to show us the difference between right and wrong, the difference between good and evil, because in our humanity, sometimes things get a little gray. The truth is, when Solomon asked God, he asked God for wisdom because he was facing some difficult situations. How many remember the situation about the two women who brought the baby to Solomon? The one's child had died, and the other's child was alive, and they bring the child to Solomon. And Solomon says, in his wisdom that God had given him, he says, here's an idea. if we just present to them that we're going to cut the child in half and give each one half, the mother that really loves the child is going to say, don't bring no harm to the child. That wasn't Solomon's carnality speaking to him. That wasn't Solomon's intellect or his great mind that he was born with, Brother Chris, speaking to him. That was the wisdom of God speaking to him. And the wisdom of God showed him. He said, listen, Solomon, I understand you're in a gray area right now. I understand you don't know how to move forward in this situation. So I'm going to give you my wisdom and the spirit of discernment so you can figure out and you can feel how to deal with this situation. Church, we need more than we've ever needed. We need in 25 more than we did in 24 the Spirit of the living God to be our guide. We don't want to go into 25 without the wisdom of God in our life. And my prayer for this body is that everybody under the sound of my voice will find a deeper wisdom in Christ Jesus. You'll find greater depth in His Word, and you'll let the Spirit of God begin to speak to you. Amen. Because we need the wisdom of God. When God asked Solomon what he wanted more than anything else in the world, and I'm trying to hurry, Solomon didn't choose power. God gave him the opportunity, Sister Gail, to have anything he wanted. He didn't want power. He didn't want wealth. He didn't want fame. He wanted wisdom. He asked God for wisdom instead of all of the pleasures, all of the perks of this world that we live in. He asked God for wisdom. So what can we learn from the wisest man ever? Number one, we must learn that wisdom must be sought. We must seek wisdom. Can I tell you tonight, wisdom is not something you're going to stumble upon. Wisdom is not something that God is just going to lay in your lap because you go to church on a weekly basis. No, we got to seek wisdom. And Solomon sought wisdom. And Solomon chose wisdom over all of the things of this world. And let me tell you something. If you're going to be wise in Christ, you're going to have to choose Christ over the things of this world. Wisdom, we must seek. We must seek wisdom. It's not something that you're just going to stumble upon. It's something you got to ask God to give you through His Spirit. All right? It's something you got to ask God to give you through His Spirit. And when God gives you wisdom, number two, when God gives you wisdom, you must use it in your decision making. How many know we can be wise and be dumb? Tell me you ain't never seen nobody wise and dumb. Yeah, you have. You've seen people that have the knowledge. You've seen people who got the wisdom, but they just will not use it. Come on. If you be honest with yourself, I promise you almost everybody in this room, if not everybody in this room, because I know I have, you have talked to yourself and said, what are you doing, John? That was the dumbest thing you ever did in your life. I knew not to do it. I was wise enough, Sister Diane, not to do it, but I wasn't able to put it into practice. All right? And number two, when God gives you wisdom, you must be willing to apply wisdom. How many know you can have all the knowledge in the world? You can have all the wisdom in the world and still not ever accomplish anything. Huh? You can be the best painter in the world, but if you're too lazy to get your brush out, guess what, Picasso? There ain't going to be no beautiful result, all right? Because you got to apply the knowledge that God gives you, and wisdom is the application of knowledge. So when God gives you wisdom, you must apply the wisdom to your life. I could write you a check today for $1,000. I'm not going to do that. But if you never go to the bank, it's still going to be my $1,000. Even though I gave it to you, You got to be wise enough to drive your lazy self down to the bank and to put it in the bank, right? Because if you don't, you're not going to benefit from what you've been given. God can give us wisdom. God can give us knowledge. But we got to practice and we got to learn to put into use the application of that knowledge, okay? So, number two, when God gives you wisdom, you got to apply it. You got to use it in your decision making. And let me tell you something. There came a time in Solomon's life, and we don't have time to read this whole text tonight, but there came a time in Solomon's life, even though he was the wisest man to walk the face of the earth. If you read your Bible, you'll see there came a time in Solomon's life that he did not use the wisdom that God gave him. And he built temples for false gods, for his wives, and for his concubines. He knew there was only one God. He was wise. He knew. But there came a point in time in Solomon's life before he fell that he failed to apply the wisdom and the knowledge that God gave him. So number two, you must apply the wisdom and you must use it in your decision making. Number three, it's wise to value your relationships. Ecclesiastes 4 and 12 says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need each other. We do, church. We need each other. And let me tell you something. If we're going to be wise in God, if we're going to be wise in the kingdom of God, if we're going to be wise in the church, we must learn to value our relationships. We must learn to value one another. All right? We need the body of Christ. We need each other. Number four, it's wise to stay humble. What can we learn from the wisest man who ever walked the face of the earth? If you lose your humility, you lose your wisdom. If you don't stay humble even in your successes, if you don't honor God even in your successes, even in your blessings, if you lose your humility, you lose your wisdom. We must stay humble. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life, the Bible says. So we must stay humble. Number five, it's wise to remain generous. I mean, no, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We must remain generous. Solomon sowed into the temple of God. He gave of his own to the poor and to the needy. I was astounded at the response of this church when we put these tags out here on this tree. And man, the very first service, everything was gone. Why? Because we have a people that understands that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. If you want to be wise in God, you got to stay generous. You got to tie yourself to the kingdom of God. You got to be willing to give to the kingdom of God. Stay generous. It's wise to stay generous, and it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Number six, it's wise to hold on to your integrity. I mean, no, sometimes when people been in the church long enough, they think they can do whatever they want to do and God ain't going to hold them accountable. Let me tell you something. We don't serve a God today that expects our integrity to decrease. He expects it to increase. And if we're wise today, we will hold on to our integrity. The integrity, the Bible says, of the upright shall guide them. Church, my prayer for this body as we close out 2024 and we begin to embark on 2025 is that we can walk in the wisdom that God has in store for us. Because listen to me, I can preach to you every week. Brother Joe can get up here and teach Sunday school. The guys can get up here and they can preach Sunday. They can preach Tuesday. We can bring evangelists from all over the world. And they can preach to you. But if you don't apply, and if you don't put into practice the things that God is speaking into your spirit. Let me tell you something. It's not going to do you no good. It's not going to do you no good. We must be wise enough to apply the knowledge that God is giving us. And my prayer for this body is that as we enter into 2025, that God would bless us with the wisdom to apply what we have learned. Jesus said to us to be wise as serpents, but to remain harmless as a dove. We got to be wise, and we got to be harmless. Wisdom teaches us to not just do the right thing, but to do the right thing at the right time. That's where wisdom comes into play. How many know you can do the right thing at the wrong time? But wisdom teaches us to do the right thing at the right time. Tell your neighbor, God's time is always the right time. God's time is always the right time. There is an appropriate time for everything. There is. There's an appropriate time for everything. And the task that God has given to us, the body of Christ, is to do the right thing at the right time. Church, the life of King Solomon teaches us that trying to please everybody will get you. It will. Trying to please everybody will get you. How many know God didn't raise us up to be people pleasers? He raised us up to please Him. For if we have favor with God, we have favor with man also. All right? So we learn from the life of King Solomon that trying to please everybody will get you. And the main person that you need to be seeking to please is the Lord God Almighty. We need to seek Him above all others, that He is pleased in us. And if God is pleased in us and God shines His light of favor upon us, we're going to find favor with man also. If you put God first, if you find favor with God, He will give you the favor with man. We got to stay humble. We got to hold on to our integrity. We got to apply. We got to seek wisdom. We got to use wisdom in our decision making. Solomon should not have built the temples for the gods of his wives and of his concubines, but he did. Even though he was the wisest man to walk the face of the earth. You can know your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but that doesn't mean that you have the application of it. I have had discussions with drunkards who could quote Scripture one right after the other, but they could not comprehend the application of the Word of God. He knew there was only one God. Solomon knew that there were no other gods. He should not have built those temples for those other gods, but he got caught up in pleasing people. Wisdom teaches us to keep God first. Seek to please Him. Seek to please Him, and He will give us favor with man also. My prayer for this body, the word that I want to speak into your spirit as we close out one year and we enter into a new one, is that not only would we attend church, not only would we be the church, not only would we be faithful to the church, but we would be wise enough to take the word of God that He speaks into our spirit and apply it to our lives and to our families, to our finances, to our health, to every aspect of our lives. Because if we want true results, we got to be wise. That's only going to come through the Spirit of the living God. We need the wisdom of God as we enter into 2025. Amen. That's my word for this year. It's 10 till. So we're going to do a quick song. If we can light your candles.